Hey everybody, welcome to Tour Punisher, the podcast about being punished on tour. This is Ray, and today on the show we've got our friend Richie Young from a band called Lac Le Monde. And Lac Le Monde has been kind of our sister band with the Builders and the Butchers for a long time. We did a vinyl split together a long time ago, and they've been pals for a long time. This interview was recorded before their tour. They just finished a European tour that ended in Portland, and we just played a sold-out show together at Mississippi Studios, which was tight. So the last show they have coming up on tour, it's on July 19th, and it's up at Subtle Lake, the Subtle Lake Boathouse. It's at like Highway 20 up in Sisters, Oregon, up in the Deschutes National Forest. You can look it up. It's a really beautiful location. It's a cool place to see music, and you should come check them out there. So for more information on Lac Le Monde in the future, they keep their Tumblr updated. They're Lac Le Monde Band on Tumblr, and you can find them on Facebook. So check them out. Go to their shows. Anyway, this is our interview with Richie Young from Lac Le Monde. Here's the show.
So did I hear that you were at Tree Fort?
And that's such a great festival. Have you guys played it?
Never been to Tree Fort, and it's one of those things. It's like a void in my heart.
It's killing me. I really want to go. And like you get on Instagram, and it's just jealousy. Yeah. Everyone's like just
people
fucking having so much
there.
Fun right now. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I've gone as a spectator.
Yeah,
and it's great.
It's not corporate yet, and people show up, and it's just fun. It feels like. I don't know what a festival should have been in the 90s.
Probably like year two of Music Fest Northwest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It
when it was still kind of a shit show disorganized, but really good bands played it and stuff.
Yes.
Like yeah, when I went last year, that's absolutely... And like what's great about Boise is it's like you can just walk everywhere.
Yeah,
totally. All the venues are close enough that you're just like... Okay, so let's... Oh, another great set starts in 10 minutes.
And everyone's
let's
happy.
Book it over there. Yeah.
And it's not... Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. I like it. You guys should play next year.
I would love to do that. Do you have any, since we're on Boise, do you have any Boise things aside from Tree Fort?
Well, my parents are from southern Idaho, so every summer we had to go to Boise. And the only thing to do was, but they had a pool. My aunt and uncle had a pool, which was great. But there was literally nothing to do, and we spent all summer there. Mm-hmm. And it was super rednecky and so red.
Yeah.
And just so... I mean, I love my relatives, but so terrible.
Right. They're the worst. I know.
As I got older and I was like, what's downtown? I'm like, don't go downtown. Like,
right.
You know, with my loafers and my rainbow sweater, I was like, gonna get murdered. And so I hadn't been back for a while. And we played the very first Tree Fort Festival. We played a couple times. And there was, you know, kids walking around with banjos and smiling and not getting murdered. And
it
was, the last time I played, it was tons of fun. Like... And my aunt and uncle hate it. but
Boise to them is like L.A. or Tree Fort in general.
Yeah, I mean, they go to the shows. They're super supportive. I love them. But they're like, what happened?
What happened to our little city?
Right. We used to be able to shoot people downtown, and now you can't.
we were stuck in Boise once with my punk rock band when I first moved to Portland. It was 2004. That's how...
Oh.
There's that fart noise you were talking about with a face.
That's the sky farting. The sky farters
really
are back.
The
sky farters.
I really hope that gets picked up on these mics. Otherwise, this is not going to work at all.
Yeah. I'll put in the sound effect.
Maybe. Yeah, put in something because that's we're just crazy.
What's the song in every Vietnam film? The chopper takes off.
Oh,
what's
that song? Fortunate Son.
Yeah.
Who backed them all?
Credence. Credence Clearwater Revival.
Every time.
Woo! That went rotten, boo!
Run Through the Jungle is the other one.
Yep. That's so on the fucking nose. I'm like, can't just a little.
I heard it in a movie about Vietnam that was made like last year, and as soon as that song came on, I was like, come on!
I don't know, there's gotta be another song that works for jungle warfare, or then run through the fucking jungle. just come on. Yeah, you're right.
So, Richie, you started Lac Le Monde in like 2000.
Oh, was pre World War One. So I was lying to get into the army so I could fight in the war
to have something to sing about.
And they were like, "Oh, you're a musician? Get out of here."
I think I started Lac Le Monde like 2003. And then I got a Lac Le Monde hand tattoo. That's a story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. To pin it or tell it?
Well, it was years ago. I used to run a music venue called The Woods.
Yeah.
And I was on my way to The Woods, and I called them up, and I was like, how many people bought tickets? It was too nice of a day, and like 16. And I was like, I'm not coming in. So I decided to get my first tattoo after a couple whiskeys, and I talked myself into a hand tattoo.
Nice.
And I'm not, yeah. So, yeah.
Make it count.
But that was a 10-year anniversary way back in the day. Yeah, I've had my band for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have Lac Le Monde's had over 100 members. Some people come back. Some people have, what is that lawsuit where tons of people get together?
Oh, class action.
Class action. There's a class action lawsuit against me.
No. But there could be.
There could be.
It's
in
a
the
believable class action. Yeah. Yeah, like we're going to pay out $4 million, but each member of Lac Le Monde
have you been
receive
in Lac Le Monde?
Like 82.
Have you been injured by Lac Le Monde?
And it's still like. So it's a project that people come and go out of.
Yeah.
But you're the driving factor.
I write the music and I sing. And then people come in that are much more talented than me and, you know, that went to music school or study it for real. And then they sing with me. But I write the bones and they flesh it out.
Yeah.
But I've had Jesse Donaldson, who's in the band now. I think we were playing a show that was actually good instead of a shit show, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, how does it feel to be in the band? You know, just kind of cocky.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, you know I was in the band two times before. Like, I was like, oh, fuck. He's like, I've played shitty shows with you before, man.
That's like someone you've slept with multiple times, totally. But blacked out. And you're like,
how was it?
That was, well, being that it's our 16th time together, it was like the other 15.
Like... Yeah, totally. So people have come in, come out. I was just talking with Ray. We're playing Subtle Lake Lodge, which we were just talking about, and he's coming in. So you're going to be the 103rd member for 103rd.
Holy smokes, history in the making right
guest
now.
Member or actual? Am I in the band now?
Yeah, you have to be. It's blood in, blood out. So
all right, yeah, I'll get the hand tattoo.
The other person with hand tattoo. That would be
an amazing like. Oh, you're going to get the hand tattoo.
I played.
Richie's also like. A purveyor of poking, what's that, poking stick or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Stick and poke.
Stick and poke, yeah.
Stick!
Both are hilarious.
Poke bowl
and stick? I like the idea.
Holy crap, that could be a great restaurant
name. You will get a hand tattoo.
We got to trademark that.
I like the idea of me playing drums like for one show and then I'm just all in with a hand tattoo and I'm like, I'm in, dude. This is me now.
And you're definitely going to get Hep C. Like everyone gets Hep C.
That's what the lawsuit is for.
It's worth it.
I got Hep C, not from drugs, just from Lac Le Monde.
Just from Lac Le Monde's hand tattoo, which is ridiculous.
He just, you know, he uses the same needle for, you know, for luck. He doesn't clean that old blood off.
No.
Got to keep
it's
that
like
vibe on.
It's like
on
an
there.
Old frying pan. You just never clean it.
Oh, yeah. It's got season that tattoo needle.
It's a cast iron stick.
Cast iron stick.
When did you guys, like, when was it when you started touring when it was like, okay, I think we can, you know, take this thing on the road or.
I think my first tour was with Mr. Peter Broderick, you know him? And he was in a band called Horse Feathers. And so it was Lac Le Monde Horse Feathers, and we shared Peter because Peter's damn talented. That was my first time out of the state of Oregon with Lac Le Monde, and it felt like, you know, the Wright brothers flying for the first time.
Yeah.
I was like, we're doing it.
Yeah, that's cool. Peter, I remember when he was kind of coming up, and he was, every article said Wunderkind.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm wondering.
What did it call him?
Wunderkind. Like, it means like young.
Like a child.
Like a child. Like a child prodigy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I keep wondering, and I know I'm too far out of this age, but at what age is it, there's no chance that you're ever going to be called Wunderkind again ever in your life.
Was this because he was super young?
He's young and he looked young.
Was he the young violin player in that band?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But what is a, I don't speak German very well, but what's a wunder but very old? Wunder Elder?
It sounds convincing.
I think so.
It's a breakout Wunder Alter.
Only their word would be 18 words in one word.
He's so old. There's no way he could be playing so well. He's so old.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
He's a
Wunder. He's playing. He's so old.
He's an arthritis killer. I don't know. It makes no sense.
Yeah. What's a German word for diaper?
No idea. We're getting quizzed.
I think it's napkin.
Yeah.
No, it's a word that's 100 letters long that literally means like shall soak up the maximum amount of urine or feces possible given the person who is this many kilograms
in the
heavy,
most efficient
in the most
efficient way possible,
worn on the waist and with two holes for either leg.
87 letters. Lederhosen.
Yeah, Lederhosen.
I should know better. I was actually trying to like know German and I can't do it.
It's beautiful and I love the German people, but it's impossible. I've said so many times, I'm sorry when I'm trying to say thank you.
I just do sorry in a British accent for some reason. Just so at least they think I'm from somewhere closer than America.
That's not, you don't want to be painted as the ignorant American.
Sorry, love.
Sorry in Germany is excuse me, basically.
Schuldigung.
And Schuldigung. Sorry just is like, that's how you get somebody's attention. Sorry, can I get directions to the... The German wiener restaurant.
The German wiener. the last tour over there. So Entschuldigung is like, excuse me.
Yeah.
So our joke last tour was Entschuldigung.
Well, that's pretty good.
I thought it was good.
Well, and sure, and
totally just like draw it out.
Oh, it's so stupid.
So dumb. But that was our top line material.
And they wouldn't get it. They'd just be kind of turning their head like,
why would you say this like this way?
no sarcasm.
There's a percentage of the podcast guest that it just kind of turns into making fun of Germany, and I want to like we love our time there.
I love it too, so much. I love the German people. I love the shows, but it is funny the disconnect with cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Like you kind of wink and like you know, and they're like looking at you like, "What are you? What?
Yeah. What
have
did you do?
Said? Have you said things on stage that have been like crickets?
Oh God!
It seems like there might be a story.
I played in Duisburg, Germany. And the audience, it was a nice little audience, and they were extremely polite and quiet. And so I was trying to talk really slow in English. And the song was, it's an old song called Virgin Mountain. Mm-hmm. And, no, maybe it was another song. Anyway, I can't remember. But it was about Mount St. Helens.
Okay.
And there was ash falling from the sky when I was a little kid, and I wrote the song about my memory of that. And then I was talking about ash falling from the sky in Germany, and they were, like, staring at me like,
oh no!
And I was like, "This song's not about the Holocaust or the show. Like, it's about a mountain far away, and they just were like super."
Oh no! Now you said the H word. Yeah. Like, come on, man!
They understood the word ash, but they did not understand the word mountain.
Yeah, and then
it was, and
the band was looking at me like, "What the fuck are you doing, man?"
So you've been over since we're still talking about Europe a little bit. You've been over there multiple times now with Loch Lomond.
Yeah,
what? There's a special kind of, it's wonderful over there and it's hard. Talk about how the hard stuff of being in Europe.
I mean, it's always wonderful. Like, as I get older, I kind of have these moments of like, you know, what have I done with my life? But I never have it there. As soon as I land,
right.
It's like this feeling of optimism. Like I'm doing something with my life. I'm damn Europe. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
And, but it that's a good feeling, and it kind of feels like I'm going back home because I know a lot of people there and you know, friends that know a lot of my friends, so it feels like a small planet. Like, like these guys were just here, and we made this little, you know, little video and watch it. And anyway, it's fun, but the hard things are just sometimes the damn drives. Mm-hmm. Like you'll get in and get into a place that like. Get into your hotel or whatever at like 2 a.m. and the call time is like 6 a.m. and you're like,
sure.
What the hell am I doing?
Why are we yeah. even stay here?
But it is fun, and the saddest day is when I'm flying back and I have to go back to like real life, you know, oh, like God. Like
we We did a tour, and we immediately piggybacked on a West Coast tour.
Yeah.
So we just got back from a really amazing Europe tour, and then the next night stayed in fucking Medford.
Mm-mm.
Like, stayed in a shitty hotel in Medford. We're all in this hotel together.
We did in the wrong order.
And it was like hard, entry.
You got to end on Europe where it's good. Yeah. Like, I remember taking the Max from the airport and just, like, getting back into my neighborhood, and there's just, like, homeless people everywhere, and you're just like, fuck, why haven't we...
Why haven't we figured this out yet?
Why does it suck here? And, like, we're in a good city. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of a great city compared to the rest of the United States, and it's still, like, homeless people and
those problems.
Mental illness. And, but, yeah, it's God, I can't describe it. It's like summer camp for adults. You get to go see these beautiful castles and talk with people, and people are amazing.
Yeah.
I've only had a couple bad experiences. These guys followed me in Lyon, France, and they're like, kind of like herded me off to the side, and they're like, you're obviously a heroin addict. You want some heroin? And I was like, what? And they're like, you look sick.
You're like Western. You're like American diet. No, not heroin. Just
vegan.
Totally.
Just a syringe full of kale or something.
But outside of just those rare moments or getting in to an argument with someone on the street about something silly. I love it. Yeah, it's like a summer camp for adults.
When was the first time you toured there?
I got into a big fight with my band at the time, and I was like, let's go to Europe. And they're like, that's not how you do it. And I was like, and they're right. but I'm just impatient. And I was like, I've just booked a UK tour on my own with my friend Maddie Kaiser, who came along, and I didn't know what I was doing. And it was tons of fun. We went from London to Edinburgh and Glasgow, and it was just hit up a bunch of places, and I just totally was addicted. Like, after that, I was like, I'm coming back and back and back. I think this will be our, like, 10th time. And it's fun because you can land and, you know the sound person.
Right.
And it just feels like home. And you're like, I know what's... they took this off the menu. That sucks, you know. Like,
I love that weird feeling when you go to a place that's across the fucking world, and it's so familiar. You see the same people.
Yeah.
Like, my phone remembers the Wi-Fi network.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, this is fucking crazy. My phone remembers this venue in Germany or wherever. Yeah, like, that is such a cool... I love the homecoming that you get once you do it a bunch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be the same if you actually live there. It's the fact that you're coming there, then they treat you like a guest. But if you have to actually live there, they'd be like, oh, hey, Richie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when you're traveling, there's more hospitality.
Yeah, they're all sweet. But I love that.
What's your tour rig? Do you rent a Sprinter? Do you that thing? Do you take the train around?
I've taken the train around. We've hired our friend Wouter Bakker, who's a real tour manager. And occasionally when we can afford it, he'll go with us. But he does huge bands like Mac DeMarco. And, you know, so, like, can we give you...
less.
$18 or euros a day and a hand job. Like, so we've done the big Sprinter van that has like the TV all the way down to renting Stefan's car and cleaning it and doing an oil change and gone for the month, and then I come back. And
nice.
So it just, and then the train. The train was fun, but it was like three of the members threw out ribs because, like, the train will take off and you have all this fucking shit with you, and they, like, throw it on and people are, like, looking to steal it, and, like, it's pretty stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds very stressful.
And then lugging it to the club.
And carrying it up the damn... Everything is, like, carrying, like, 8 bags and, like, a giant keyboard and...
Yeah.
But this time, I think we're doing the whole band, which is 7 people plus 2 of the members. Pete and Julie are married with a baby, and they're bringing their mother, so it's gonna be, I think, fucking 10 of us.
It's touring Europe sounds it sounds romantic from what all the stories that I've heard about it. But I also kind of wonder too, like, is it ever like, you've gone in small groups, is it ever like, you know, being in a place where you don't necessarily speak the language, like, and just kind of, you know, differences in cultures? And
I mean, I think we're lucky because we have smartphones, but I can't imagine touring back in the day when you're in, like, Portugal and, like, you can't look at your phone and be like, I have the flu, and I you know, like, I need, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
like, I don't eat something. Walnuts, and I can't figure out the word for walnut, you know.
Right.
I would love to, I don't know about you guys, but I've never toured, like, Japan or South Korea or some place where you really need to like practice and learn your, you know, shit.
Because
in most places you can find someone, especially a young person, and be like, do you speak English? Please. Thank you. And they like, totally.
They get you through.
Yeah.
They're like, yes, I'll show you where the beer is.
Yeah. But then the high points is being able to go across the ocean and play these wonderful places. But the low point for me was touring during the Trump-Clinton debates from the East Coast to the West Coast. And it was every show. The first show, the first two shows were great because it was New York. And then after that, every show got worse because every show is in a place, I'm sorry, on a date where they had a debate. Or news was coming out, like, you know, he, you know, burned down an orphanage and, you know, like...
And people celebrated.
Yeah, totally. But it was the worst thing I've ever... I was like, I think I'm done touring.
What, like, just like people were in bad moods or...
No one was there. The sound guy had his iPhone watching the bait with, like, you could see it, like his little, like, you know, thing in his ear, like trying to pretend. And like half the band was like looking at the, you know, their iPhone and their smartphones with like, and there was one show in Vermont, no one was there. And
I was like, God.
I was like, you know, you don't, we have a guarantee, but like, you don't have to pay us. And they're like, you have to play to get paid. And I was like, ugh.
So, right. So you just play it to an empty room so you can
just
get paid?
No one. And I was like, you know, I'm in my 40s, and what the hell am I doing? So it's dizzying highs and desperate lows for sure. It's like, then the next thing you know, you're like, you know, playing in front of 5,000 people, and it's tons of fun. And then next thing you know, like, one of the worst weeks I've had, I was playing in a band called The Standard after I started Lacalmon, but I went on tour with them and moved to the East Coast with them. And we were touring, and like, they were the hardest working people ever. They were on Touch and Go Records. Yeah. They had a huge booking agency, but like, they just weren't very popular.
Yeah,
and
I remember The Standard.
Yeah, there. I mean, it was fun to play the music, but it was Jay Clark and I in Kentucky, and we only had $1.50 between the two of us, and we seriously split a taco. And when we were eating the half taco, we started crying, and then I had to go up to Vermont on a train. To meet my girlfriend who was in law school there at the time, and he had to go to LA so he could fly back, and we had no money, and it was before Venmo or anything like that, and we had no money for 2 days. Both of us didn't eat.
Wow.
Like, holy, I was shit, like looking on the floor for like quarters or anything like that, and I was like starving, and it was like the winter, so the train was going really slow. Like, when my girlfriend Ashley came up, she brought me a bunch of food, and I was like chugging the orange juice and like kind of crying, like, or not crying, but sobbing, like, and then I fucking do this shit for another decade plus. Like,
yeah.
What made you want to do it in the first place? What was your onus to hitting the road?
It's addiction to people giving a shit about you occasionally.
That's man. That's never been said. So that's I could. I could, like, you could have 10 shitty shows in a row that make you question, is this for you? That's the kind of guy I am. I'm going to take your beer. Like, you could have 10 shitty shows in a row, and you could have one show where, like, five people in the front are tearing their hair out at you, and it's like, that's all that matters. It's that. There was literally a guy that saved our tour, an audience member. We were on an opening tour, and it was going bad. I remember this one guy was, like, literally shitting himself, bleeding out of his eyeballs, freaking out that we were playing the show, and, like, losing his mind. And I was like, all right, this is for you.
It was worth it.
And it's worth it. And it's so weird, like, how your mind adjusts to, like, what's worth it.
Well, you remember, like, being a kid and, like, seeing, because you guys are from Alaska, right?
Yeah.
Like, where are you from?
Portland.
Okay. But, you know, seeing your favorite band at like 14 years old and freaking
totally
out. They were gods, even though they were like, you know, having the same problems.
They were totally, like, poor and smelled like shit and like drug
addicted,
like, and whatever.
Just you would sit outside from like 11 a.m. and the show would start at like 10. And you'd like just be so excited you couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And I just, being in the other side of that role, the other side of the coin, there's times where there's satisfaction with performing, you know, like you just did a great job because you've put a lot of effort into it. And then there's times where, like, you know, why am I doing this still? I've done it so many times. I need to, like, move on and do, like, paint or learn, like, Russian or like anything
or
else.
Or paint Russian words.
Yeah, paint Russian words. but then when I go back out, I'm like, oh, it's kind of this thrill of like, fuck, here we go again. But then here we go again.
Yeah.
It's like, it's fun. And was, terrible.
Yeah. Was playing music live, was that the original intent when you started playing? I mean, because it's, I mean, it seems for at least bands, you know, that were born in the Pacific Northwest, it's like touring is the necessity if you want to continue to survive as a musician. But like, was you know, recording an album, was that the initial, like, this is what I want to do, I want to make this music and put it out there in an infinity? Or was being drawn to performing live, was that part of it? Or was that the initial, like, interest?
I think it's making something and doing something. Like, I remember my very first band, Jack Tripper, a terrible band.
Is that did that precede Jack Reacher?
No, God. We were
he
like,
tripped before. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm gonna stop.
They found out who Jack
the
Jack
Ripper.
The Ripper. Who it was a butcher.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, crazy.
Makes sense.
come to find out, he was a butcher.
Kind of on the nose.
We were the bag is driving me home, which means I got a bag of dope and we're going home with it. A terrible band.
That was
the song?
Oh, yeah. And it was like reggae. It was.
Oh,
we got to find it. Oh, I want to listen to it so bad now.
Does it exist on the.
It's like Gum and Nuts. It was like metal and reggae funk. It was terrible.
Okay. I have this. I'm sorry. I have to pause you because my first band was a funk band, too. Why do people think that they can do funk as their first band? I think it's this weird, like, or like reggae, or like something that takes like skill and precision.
I never thought that.
But I think you're just young and dumb. It's like like masturbating with shampoo. Terrible idea.
Right. Conditioner.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But terrible idea, but you think it's a good idea.
Well, your pubes are all shiny and nice looking afterwards, so that's...
That is true. It's but a week worth of crazy itch when you're like 16 years old is a nightmare. But I remember like Jack Tripper, we ordered these CDs and it was only like at the time $19,000 to order 500 CDs.
Worth it. Selling for $50 at Costco with a giant cardboard fucking 3-foot tower of shit,
it is.
Anyway.
It's like $19 now to order 1,000 CDs. It's, like,
yeah.
But I remember I couldn't sleep all night, and I was waiting for the delivery person to drop it, and I ripped it out of his hands and cut it open, and I was like, ah! Like having your firstborn child or something.
Yeah,
like you're just like, holy shit, that's amazing.
You lift him up, and
yeah,
that's what you do.
But then the same thing with vinyl, the same thing with 7-inch. It just it's this thing that keeps, I guess, chasing the dragon.
Yeah, ride the snake.
Yeah, yeah. It sucks, but it's awesome, and there's always these new things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, I was having a shitty day, and I got an email like, hey, do you want to play Israel? And it didn't work out, but I was like, that was my...
That even could happen.
Yeah, I was just like, fuck, man. Like, you get addicted to that weird, random thing that could happen.
Well, not that it's playing Israel, but I remember we had a conversation 10 years ago, 12 years ago. You were like, hey, we should do a 7-inch, or not a 7-inch, we should do a vinyl split together. You walked up to me on a show. I was like, good idea, Richie, let's do it.
Yeah.
And we emailed a few people, and then it happened. And then a year later, you're like, wasn't it cool that we just did that?
Yeah.
Like, that just happened, and we were able to just fucking do that, and now that thing's in the world forever.
And people... Like, I was playing the show in Seattle, but this woman came up to me, and she had one of the split.
Totally.
And, like, she's like, I got these boys to sign. Can you sign the other half? And, like,
that's
she's
awesome.
Like, these are my two favorite bands. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy that we thought of it and did it. And this seemingly normal person was, like, liking it.
Yeah.
So.
I think that vinyl split was the first time at least I had put music on vinyl.
For sure.
And, that thing you were talking about where it's like your child. Like,
totally.
I went out there. I Lion Kinged it like it was Simba.
That's Simba.
Everything the light touches is yours.
Yeah.
I was like, I have the two that I nabbed from the original pressings of those, and I still have them.
I still have mine.
Yeah.
No, I got it from when we played Old Church. I had this third pressing or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna hold on to it. Like, and I listen to it, and it's very nostalgic, and it's great that your band is still alive, your guys' band is still alive, and my band is still alive.
I don't know what keeps us going, frankly. I'm just kidding.
Just super stubborn assholes.
Assholes desperate for any kind of recognition in your 40s.
That totally.
I will stay relevant. God damn it.
We're not sexually relevant any longer.
No.
Like, we serve no purpose.
I like how you say that as if I was ever sexually relevant.
I don't know, man. You know what's hilarious is that earlier today I was Googling Loch Lomond just to read up and remember, like, you know, certain details about you guys. And then what's hilarious is that you Google you guys and you guys show up
right,
like, down the Google search on, like, people also searched for, and, like, you guys, Builders and Butchers, is, like, the number one next to Loch Lomond.
Yep.
And then I looked, and it's this really old picture of you, and it's amazing. I was like, dang, Ryan was so young once.
I look like a child.
It's so funny. Yeah, you look like you're 18 years old.
Man, children age you so hard. It's not the sun or diet. It's fucking children. Children just age the shit out of you. I'll groan around my house, literally just sitting down to dinner. I'm like, now.
Yeah, it is,
like, crazy.
I mean, it is kind of funny because you look at that picture, and I know what you look like now.
And then, you're like, you look at Ray's
picture, and, like, Ray basically looks the same. He just maybe looks just, like, a little bit more innocent and goofy in that picture, but for the most part, the exact same.
Yeah, I didn't have kids
that you know of.
Oh my god!
Well, that's the.
How many times is that joke gonna happen?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
There's a dad.
Yeah. See, the trick to staying youthful is to just not have any responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
that is true. They just slowly whittle you down to a fine pointed stick, and then the stick becomes ugly and wrinkled in your face.
If you're just tuning in, Ryan is single parenting it.
Nobody.
This
that's the funny thing about people say that on podcasts. Nobody is just tuning in.
I know.
Nobody drops in 28 minutes into a podcast.
I don't know. I sometimes skip around. I skip around if it's boring.
Well, yeah. My favorite murder. I'm like, I just want to hear the fucking murders. God damn it.
Exactly. I figured it out. It's 16 minutes in before the story starts.
Yeah. And I'm like, and then I'll be like, oh, they're laughing about something. They're still talking. I'm like, no, they're laughing at a murder. Oh God, I gotta go back.
No,
oh,
the murder. I can just imagine you wearing headphones on the street.
The murder.
Looking at your phone, and some passerby being like, "What the fuck?
This is all I have.
The murder.
This is the only thing that makes me happy. Is listening to podcasts. I get a little fucking peace." Anyway, yeah, kids.
I am a rambling, walking down the street, not paying attention. I'm going to get hit by a car, like fast-forwarding podcasts and rewinding. Like, fuck, I missed that part.
I was once walking down the street the month after I moved to Portland, and I lived in Selwood, and I was listening to the first Decemberist record on my Discman. That's how fucking long ago that was. And I was walking by, and fucking Colin Malloy walks by me, and I was like, this is you! This is you on the pod! I'm listening to you! And he's like, okay.
Did you actually do that?
I did that.
That's great.
Exactly.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who had a very embarrassing fanboy moment with Colin Malloy.
You are! That's up in my ears!
I did something very similar.
Yeah, it was, like, real bad.
He was like, all right!
It's cool, man.
You guys toured with them, right?
We did a U.S. tour with them, and it was crazy. So much fun. They're so nice. I love every one of them.
How many shows was that?
It was East Coast and then West Coast, and they did one more we couldn't go to in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So I was playing, and it was, they were amazing. Super, super cool people. Like, we were playing in Boston.
Uh-oh.
And this woman, fully a woman, came up to me. This gorgeous person came up to me, and she's like, do you remember me? And I was like, no. She's like, you picked me up at a December show and put me on stage. And I was like, well, what? Like, I can't imagine picking up anyone, but, like,
over a barrier.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, oh, no, it was at the Crystal Ballroom. You were opening for the Decemberists, and the last song, they brought out all their friends and the band that opened, which was us. And I picked her up because her dad pushed me, you know, I wasn't just picking up a random kid. Yeah. So I was picking up a random kid. But I put her on stage and I was like, but you were like 7. And she's like, yeah, that was a long time ago. Now I'm in college.
Oh my God.
And I have a band and we wanted to play with you. It made me feel like,
whoa.
Yeah.
Now you're an adult.
Yeah, totally. Like, wow. I'm an old man.
We've had fans. We've had fans where like they would come to the show and they couldn't get in because they were too young to get. So they'd listen from outside. And now we've know them well now, and like multiple people were like, you go through their trials and tribulations, the divorces, the kids, and they're still like hanging in there with the band, and it's real crazy.
It. And you know, like I think one of the positive things about not wising up and making other bands, which you have at the Albatross, and you've done your own stuff, right? Like. But it's just been Lachlan, and I'm just starting to do other things now, finally. But is seeing the lifelong friends, you know, because they come to the show because they like that song. They got, they got married to the song that you wrote, and then now they're, like, married again, and they have 4 more kids. You know, it's like, if you have a band, flash in the pan band, you're not going to get to see that stuff, so.
Is there a Lachlan song that you hate playing? That you refuse to play because you don't like it anymore, or a song that a lot of people like that you don't like?
I mean, we're not that big of a band. The biggest song that we've ever, the most successful song we've ever recorded is Wax and Wire.
Okay.
And I don't mind listening to the song or playing it. I just hate singing it because I was younger and I could kind of like balance on a wire at the time. And now it just like kills me.
Right.
Like, and then people that come to our shows want to hear it. So I have to do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, 19 minutes long and I'm like singing like super high and low and like I'll sometimes afterwards just even take a break from the next song and just like sit in the green room and like take breaths, you know,
so it's like crazy thing,
smoke a filterless cigarette, hit some crack, try to recover my vocals. Like,
do you ever get sick of the crack in the green room? Like, it's just you go back there, you do crack. It's a thing.
I have a funny story about that.
I have a funny story about that. Oh, do you?
Because mine was a complete joke, but do tell.
Speaking of the cracked cocaine, I have a... it was a Wouter Bacher, the true professional driver, tour manager. Mm-hmm. He's like, Richie, I can't do his accent.
His first name is Wouter?
It's Walter, but it's Wouter.
Okay, I like that.
Bacher, so Walter Baker.
Okay.
But he's like,
that's so funny, man. Yeah. Accents. Yeah. Am I right? No, I'm not right.
he was like, hey, I've a lot of the promoters have questions about your writer, and writer is what you want in your green room.
Right.
And usually it's stamps and like beer and like wine and, you know, cheese and whatever plate. But I wrote black socks because, you know, touring, your feet are constantly sweaty and gross. So you just want to throw away socks and put on new socks or throw them in a bag and wash them later.
Sure.
But he was like, what is black socks? and I was like, black socks, like socks that you put on your feet, but black or whatever color. And he's like, oh, okay, very confusing because white socks is code for cocaine. and I was like, they wanted to know what drug you want. And I was like, wait.
Oh, wait, I could get that?
Yeah, totally. And I was like,
amazing.
Oh, I'll take black socks and white socks.
I did. I told him, I was like, can we put white socks on there? And he's like, you're not doing cocaine. You're very skinny.
You're always too skinny for cocaine. What is this?
You look like heroin.
I was like, do you allow your bigger bands to do it? And he's like, yeah, because they're bigger, so they get to do what they want, but you don't.
You only get black socks, actual socks.
Like, you thought you were ordering black tar heroin or something like that? No, black socks, that sounds intense.
The real shit. The real shitty shit. Oh, man, that's really funny. I don't think that we've ever... that's a new... There's always a little bit of education with this podcast, and so now bands listening know that if you put white socks...
Yeah, free advice, free advice. They won't give it to you unless you're the Decembrists.
And yet you don't.
I mean, the thing with the writer is you can put anything on there. It doesn't guarantee that they're going to get it to you.
No, they're not going to get it.
But you can ask for anything you want.
It's always water, beer, cheese plate, and you know, maybe they'll give you
some food,
but they never do the things like,
except when they do, like that, like
sometimes they do. It doesn't hurt to ask.
That is true.
Well, there's three. There's like there's a and like let's say there's a new festival, they don't know what they're doing, they want to impress you, and they think you're bigger than who you are.
Yeah,
that's when you get everything. And I'm like, why is there Ode Wall to see? Oh right, because in 2009 we put that on the rider.
Oh my gosh, they've got yerba mate. Amazing.
I've always kind of wanted to throw a fit. That like
you, right now you want
no,
to
no 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 like that the writer like has not been fulfilled like,
right yeah. Right, just to pretend
yeah just to like, see if you could get like some terrible like some like poor PA to go run out in the middle of the night to go find you.
I want a King James Bible with all the curse words removed. God damn it.
Shit, is there curse words?
But that's the God cursing for them you. To go through the entire Bible just like I don't know what he means by
you think
curse
the
words.
Green M&M's shit was bitchy. Just wait. That's great.
Oh yeah. So like any kind of like food hacks that you've come up with over the years, like things that like you know you need to pack it in the States or like pack it for a road trip.
I've got a story for you. It's kind of on that road, but
yeah, great.
Just, it's going to diverge a little bit. So, I was on a tour and it was a month long tour and it was pretty hardcore and I went with no money and our per diems, which is money per day. Was like 10 euros and you know, you could get a cup of coffee and like half a gas station sandwich with that.
Right.
So I found that if I saved up a couple bucks and I bought a cooler, I could put the green room bananas and everything.
Yeah.
And everyone in the band, and we had this woman that was making a Haley Young making a video for us in Europe. And she was like, you know, everyone was on paid leave except for me because I don't have a real job.
Yeah.
And so everyone was eating currywurst and having a beer and like you could see the Alps and it was like beautiful. But I was like out in the cold van eating a cold banana and like, God damn it.
There's a lot of stories so far about you starving.
Yeah. But I was like, I scraped together enough because the little tourist restaurant had a like a chocolate gift shop. Mm-hmm. And so I got together like 75 cents there and I was going to buy some chocolate and there was this baggie, like a sandwich bag with like crust. And I was like, oh, someone left this. And the lady looked at me like, fuck off. Like, I'm not going to take your trash. So I looked inside and there was a honest to God, a gold coin. But it was covered in heroin. I guess you put heroin on coins. I'm not a big heroin fan.
What?
So I went downstairs and I cleaned it off, you know, just quickly as fast as I could. But I was way more interested in the gold coin.
Right.
And it was a 1903, I think. Czar, the Czar of Russia was on the front and it was gold. And I was like completely just like, this has to be worth something.
Yeah.
So I was almost put it in with my shrapnel, you know, the other change. And so I put it in my backpack and then went on the tour. And then when I came back, we split up the money. Try to make this quick. We split up the money on the ferry coming back to fly out of Brussels, and we made 90 cents a piece. we were in the black
after
90
expenses.
Cents after everything, and like, and I was like, I have to go back
That's
and pay
tour.
Rent, pay rent immediately, and I'm not gonna have food, and I don't even know how I'm gonna take the max back to the house, you know?
Yeah,
oh
yeah,
my God.
And but the tour was successful. We didn't crash, you know. It was a successful tour. It was just expensive. And when I went home, I Googled it in the morning, and it was worth $1,600.
Wow.
And I called a bunch of places, and this guy was like, I'll buy it for $1,300 right now. And I had $1,300 in my pocket compared to the 90 cents that didn't even...
This.
That is so great.
Yeah, it saved my ass, and I was
wow.
There is some sort of cruel god of touring musicians where, like, you're going to suffer today, but
that just
a prize.
Proves...
That is crazy. You found a drug coin?
Coin.
Who was putting heroin on this expensive, like, vintage coin?
It felt so that's weird. I was like, this is like...
That's how good it is in Europe, man.
That's like that's like, is God a thing? Like, am I way off?
Well, it's like, what is that? Elon Musk's theory and many people's theory that we live in a hologram. It's a game.
Mm-hmm.
Future beings.
Simulation of some sorts.
But there are times, and I'm sure you guys agree with this,
I know,
all of us, like where it's like suddenly you find
this
something.
This was here for me.
Like you're just,
you're
dying on the side of the road, and then suddenly there's a turkey sandwich, and you're like, oh, I'll survive to suffer another day.
Or half taco.
Yeah. Or half taco for 2 days.
I'll survive to suffer another day. That's totally true.
Yeah. That's fucking...
Because it's never enough to like be like, you're fine now. It's like, here's just...
It's enough not to die right now.
Just keep suffering.
It's weird when there's those moments where you feel, you don't actually, but with touring, you have a moment where you're fooled into thinking that you have opulence. Like there's a weird like,
oh I'm sure, yeah.
Like we were talking about, we played this festival for the eclipse a couple years ago at Subtle Lake, and like there was, they gave us each a card that said like you have $100 to eat and drink for the weekend. And we're like,
cool.
What the fuck is this?
It's crazy.
And we're all just like drinking fancy drinks and like, this life is, this is good. We're doing good, guys.
And then it's gone in 2 hours.
It's gone in 2 hours because like we had like,
I had a fucking hot dog and two cocktails.
And that's gone. Yeah, exactly.
I tipped way too hard because
yeah, God damn it.
I was a baller.
Because I felt generous.
Yeah.
And I fucked myself.
Money will ruin us all, for sure.
That those things will keep you going. You know what
for
I mean?
For sure.
Like, oh, totally.
And
fuck
that,
you, Ira Glass.
So that wasn't quite
and that's
wasn't
the food
quite
hack.
A, I was gonna say that wasn't quite a food hack, but that's the
terms of hack. The cold banana.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. All you have to do is find a drug coin and sell it to a collector for money, and then you can buy food.
Yeah.
That
get on it.
I bought food.
Lazy people.
Yeah, the blueprint for success.
But I think the story is the food part of the story was they were eating and laughing and like mocking me through the window. And
you
like,
got the last laugh.
And I got the last laugh because none of us made money, but I did. Because
yeah,
if
right.
I was in there eating currywurst and having a giant beer, I wouldn't have found the drug coin.
And the moral of the story is
Richie, you had to be with the people.
The moral of the story is scrounge around and find a drug coin.
If you haven't heard of what that is,
be a rat person.
Be an albino rat person and you're going to find what you need.
The question that comes to mind for me is, was this before or after those people cornered you in the street and said you were a heroin addict? Because it's like, it seems to be following you around for good or for bad.
Yeah, you seem to not eat a lot of food. You seem to be mistaken. Seems like there's a common theme there.
I think it was before.
Okay.
And I don't know why like I brought up a cold banana. Like a hot banana is a good thing.
Nobody wants a hot banana.
So I was enjoying a hot banana.
Earlier today, I ate a warm string cheese.
That is...
If you want to have a fuck... I was like really hungry and it was in my pocket.
Oh, God. You don't put string cheese in your pocket, man. Dad stuff.
There's all kinds of stuff in my pocket.
Hot banana. You should start adding that. Start adding that to your writer.
Yeah.
That would get some like eyebrows too. Like hot banana. What does he mean? Yeah. Is this a drug thing?
You know what I mean.
I mean a very hot banana.
Yeah. Literally 15 hookers.
I'm just gonna say it as an exclamation. Just hot banana.
Hot banana.
It's like a thing grandpas say when they're excited.
Yeah.
Like something goes well.
What?
You go.
I found a dollar bill on the floor. Hot banana.
What? Jeopardy's on. Hot banana.
I don't have cancer. Hot banana.
Oh, God.
Good. Well, now I know what the ad's going to be.
Yeah, hot bananas.
Looking for a snack that's tasty as well as good for your digestive health, but can't stomach the taste of kombucha or other medicinal tasting probiotic drinks? Just reach for a gut-healthy hot banana. Hot banana will reinvigorate your intestinal immune system by simply being the same temperature as your body. Enjoy the delicious taste of a fresh banana served at the perfect human body temperature of 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Hot banana may resemble a regular fruit, but the second it touches your tongue, you'll be thinking of nothing but what happens after hot banana does its digestive heavy lifting. Hot banana. Slide this through your system. Do not enjoy hot banana any further than 12 feet from a working restroom facility.
Okay, so we've heard about you getting 90 cents back on a tour and also having a couple days of not eating on tour. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that comes to mind that was worse than those things? Of like times in which you were just like, I'm going to give up.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to go from the dizzying high to the desperate low. We got to open for Case Lang Veers, which is Nico Case, Laura Veers, and Kitty Lang. And it was balls amazing. Like the catering every night was perfect. Yeah. They were so nice. like they had a juice person and they would do like do yoga. No joke. He would like make fresh juice for everyone and like instead of just drinking whiskey and, you know, like doing whatever I do, salting crackers and the overly
hot
heated
bananas.
Hot bananas. So I went from that and playing in Denver and having juice and everyone's laughing because there's like the food is amazing. And then we went back through to play Denver. And we played this place, and I was thinking like people got to remember us. It was 5,000 people.
What was
we
the
killed
place?
It. So the original place was this amphitheater in the Museum Park District.
Yeah.
The is it converted convexed amphitheater?
I know of it, yeah. But I don't know what it's called.
What is it called? Anyway. The next time we played, we had to beg to get on a show, and I was like, oh, we just played here 6 months ago.
To this fucking like, massive thing.
Massive amount of people. They sold a ton of merch, like people like love Lacroix, in fact. And we begged to play this show, and it was kind of like, and it was terrible. Like, they could give a fucking balls about us, like,
right.
At all, and they were talking, and like, someone was throwing beer cans at us, and I was like, what? Like... You know, you
right.
think you've crossed this line, and then it'll just pull you right back.
Right.
And like right.
You're drinking fresh squeezed juice
yes.
and thinking I've made it,
and then you're given a hand job behind the Bi-Mart to make taco money. Like it humbles you.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Taco money.
Get your middle-aged man a hand job, yeah?
He's slow, but he's experienced.
Has there been a movie that's better than a book that you like?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Jurassic Park. No, that's not true. Maybe kind of true.
Mystic Pizza.
I don't even know what that
is. It's like a
sounds like girl stuff.
It's like it's like one of the OG rom-coms.
No, I know. I'm just fucking with you.
I'm just being an asshole.
I love Mystic Pizza. Fuck.
I mean, young Julia yeah. Roberts, man. You gotta be behind
it. The book for Mystic Pizza was really good, but the movie was way better.
Hot Tub Time Machine. I just like the idea of reading the book of like Hot Tub Time Machine 3.
The book that was made after the movie that's basically like a redraft of the screenplay.
Yeah.
And you read that first.
Yeah.
I'm
it's got
go
pictures
to
from the movies. It's just what I imagined it would be.
I'm going to go to a printer and print out Hot Tub Time Machine and put it on a book.
So what they make.
So like when you're writing the Max.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What they make for children.
Go to like the fanciest coffee shop. Just.
Fuck you.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I realized as we were talking that we're in a kind of interesting situation here, too, because Richie's been on tour a lot as a musician, but you have also owned venue and ran a venue,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting to have like the double perspective there where it's like you've been on the road, dealt with people that own venues, managers, all that kind of stuff, but then you've also been on the other side of it.
Yeah, and I thought that made me a better venue owner because, like, you guys know, when someone just is nice right when you're coming through the door, like,
it's
you can tell
difference.
Almost immediately. Like, we were opening for Blitz and Trapper in Denver. I love Denver, but, man, I've had some hard times. And the guy handed us wet drink tickets.
Oh.
And he's like, you can only drink out of this High Life keg that's been, like, old. And I was like, really? Like, and
he said those words.
He said those words. And
that's
like,
been old.
It's been old.
And Blitz and Trapper was amazing. They packed the place out. It was a great show. But I kept on handing the soggy ticket over, and the guy would, like, the bartender would roll his eyes and go over to this, like, dusty, fucked up keg, and it would make us sick. And like, fuck you, Denver. No, just kidding. I love Denver. But I.
You don't. I'm just kidding.
But as a venue owner, I wanted at least, you know, some musicians are cocky, and I could immediately disarm people by being nice,
right?
Instead of being a dick,
right?
Like I'm gonna match your dick level. I could just be like, you know what? Here's the green room. Here's some snacks. If you guys need anything, here's the Wi-Fi. It's always no one knows the Wi-Fi. It's buried somewhere. Just it's cold, and they haven't turned the heat on because they're trying to save pennies. Like preheated up. Make sure everyone's taking off with a little bit of food and being treated well. Either if they packed the place out or if they didn't, at least they had that memory of like I like that place because they treated me
It makes a huge... Did you ever play the Bottle Tree in Birmingham, Alabama?
No.
Bottle Tree was owned by the guys who were in the band Manor Astroman.
Mm.
And the backstage was a green room trailer.
Yeah,
awesome. And there's like several trailers for each band had a trailer. And the trailer had socks, Sharpies, paper, DVDs, and a movie, and anything you'd need, all the needs of a band.
Yeah, useful shit that like most people wouldn't think about. Yeah.
Every time, do you have a Sharpie and a piece of paper? And they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
I need to make a set list.
Yeah,
it's
like...
Yeah, of course we do. That's you're a venue. Brilliant. Why don't you have that?
I should have done that.
They had that. Have you ever played the 400 Bar in Minneapolis?
Yes.
When it was a bar?
Yeah.
While it wasn't the nicest place, always treated really well. Like, always treated like a human being.
Yeah.
They knew how to treat bands because they'd had a million bands through there.
You have to, Manor Astroman, that makes sense that they were successful enough and know, they had a great amount of knowledge of what you would need and what it's makes you feel comfortable. Which
small
makes the
band.
Show better.
Yeah, totally. And it makes you, what it makes you is like, you tell other bands about that venue. They're like,
yeah.
This place is awesome. You should go there. It's the only place I'd play around Birmingham. It's like, cool, yeah. I'll do that. I'll make sure that my booking agent knows that or whatever. It makes a huge difference. And it's a little thing.
A little bit of kindness and it makes the performance so much better. Like,
yeah.
Because if you walk into a place and they treat you like a beer salesman, like, you only sold 90 tickets.
Right.
And for us to break even, we have to have 120, so fuck you.
What's the most... So we recently, I hesitate to name the venue in Eugene, Oregon, that that we
Speaking
played
of Mystic Pizza.
We played a show at, and we sold 130 tickets, and they said, sorry, the expenses outweighed the cost of the show. We're not paying you anything.
Was it the W Hall?
I can't. I'm not going to,
confirm or deny. You're not going to confirm or deny.
I'm just going to tell you that you're right and move on. But have you ever had a situation where it's been like, we actually did good tonight, and what the fuck is this?
Oh, many times. It was like Willie Nelson used to carry a shotgun and a bat, and it's like,
right.
Yeah, like people used to try to steal money from musicians.
Yeah,
back before social media, where you're like, don't play this place, they did this.
Right,
you could very much video or photo document the bad treatment.
Right,
but back in the day, you just had a baseball bat. Like, I think we're gonna get paid.
Mad Max.
Yeah,
yeah.
But definitely. In places where people are just like, I knew that we crossed the line, and the fast talking, methed out promoter needed to pay his drug dealer that night, so stole $400.
Right.
That happened to me in Olympia. I played solo show with Shenandoah Davis, who's amazing. But we played this place, and they didn't turn the heat on, and my strings kept on breaking.
Right.
And it was just terrible, and all these kids came, and they took off their shoes, and they had dirty socks, and they couldn't. The door person didn't show up, so they found someone off the street, and there was kind of a lot of people there for her and I. The lady that they hired to do the door left $10 and took off with all the money.
Oh my god!
And I was like, can we
god.
Go to her house? And they're like, I have just a homeless lady on the street. And I was like, what? That was.
That's so fucked.
That's
the last
bummer.
Check for Olympia for me.
Yeah. Weirdly, I've never played Olympia once in my life, and it's weird because Olympia has this great reputation as like a cool indie rock town from back in the day,
but
what happened?
It was amazing. Kill Rock Stars is there, K Records is there, Slim Moon, the whole thing, Evergreen, all the coolest shit came out of there. Like,
totally.
It was handwritten cassettes, just like breaking all the rules, and I don't know what happened, but the last couple times I've been there, it's been
sad.
I think meth happened.
Meth,
is that what happened?
Meth, and I don't think the state of Washington was taking care of their homeless, which
that makes sense. Yeah,
is they all congregate in? Why is it always the capitals of states?
Yeah,
they're like, we're gonna go and change things, and then
or maybe they have more resources for homeless people.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe.
It's very sad, and. A lot of people have mental illness, which is very sad that that's not being treated correctly, but it just kind of got to the point where it was like unsafe and not fun to play there.
Yeah. Was there any stories that you had in mind that are just like, I wanted to talk about this because this fucked up thing happened to me.
Well, this has been a lot more fun than I thought.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought it was just going to be like
with you fucking guys.
You know, like drinking chamomile tea and
eating hot bananas.
Yeah, eating hot bananas. And,
no, I like to dip my banana in chamomile tea. That's how fucking.
So you get it hot. It's like.
But I
so you eat up your bananas.
That's like,
can I have another dipping banana, please?
I think I'll switch to Earl Grey.
My tea's getting a little chunky. Could I freshen it up?
I totally. That's exactly how I imagine.
That's
this.
What we're doing next time. I think. Yeah.
You next should. Do that.
Thanks for the suggestion. We're making that happen. Yeah. Someone, no more Olympia. We're gonna
someone that's truly famous and just be just terrible.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hot chamomile tea.
He talks to his teeth.
I was gonna share a story, but it's not even that funny. This has been more fun than. Anyway, I was going to Scotland to play a show that Red Bull paid for, and which is such a weird thing because we're not. It's the only corporate thing we've ever done.
That's weird. They pay for this podcast too. Do go on.
Oh, they're quite wonderful. Pick me up.
Red Bull gives you wings.
But they were actually nice. But we practiced the night before that we were supposed to fly over because we did this bike video. Danny McCaskill, you know that guy? Mm-hmm. He's a super nice guy, but he's Scottish and he has like 100 trillion million views and he used one of our songs for one of his videos. Mm-hmm. And that's why some people bought some of our stuff over there and we got signed over there. I was talking to the band right before we left and Scott McGee and I were on mm-hmm. one flight and Jason Leonard and Dave Depper were on another flight. Mm-hmm. And I was like, listen, hear me out. I've been there before. Do not say you're playing a show because we didn't have the proper work visas.
Right.
Oh. And I was like, and they were like, whatever, Richie, it's Richie. And I was like, yeah, listen to what I'm saying. And like, they just wouldn't pay attention to me. And I jumped in front of Scott when he was going through and I was like, we're just here to go see a show, a Red Bull thing. Mm. And he's like, are you playing? And we're like, no. And we totally lied and I'll never mm-hmm. lie again because that was traumatizing. So they let us in. Dave and Jason, like 3 days later, they just didn't show up. It's super weird, you know, because you guys have toured, like to have band members just go MIA.
Yeah.
And finally, the guy from Red Bull was like, hey, I guess they got their first call. They're in the Heathrow jail. And they've been there for 3 days. And I was like, oh, I thought they got like killed or something.
Right.
And they've been there for 4 days. And they said that they were playing. They didn't have work visas. And they were going to get the 10-year ban. And they
not
were
the 10-year ban.
And the Red Bull lawyer kept on being like, hey, you can't kick these guys out. Like, bring it. Let's let them
how
in.
Much Red Bull do you need to smooth this over? Yeah. How many cases are
I got
talking?
A couple cases in my...
Why is he from Jersey?
But they finally let us go. And we had to promise it we weren't getting paid. And they landed in Edinburgh. We picked them up from the airport. Dave flipped open the Nord keyboard and flipped the power
on button.
Well, no, I just flipped the power. Anyway, and like 3 seconds, maybe probably 30 seconds before we started, he just threw it up and we started playing.
Holy fuck.
And it was like, and my heart was like just pounding and like.
But that's like, awesome that it like.
Somehow worked out.
That's like that's the drug coin.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Somehow like it just. Somehow,
but it like whatever gods there are, like they're like, let's make this as hard possible to the last 30 seconds. And then we were playing in front of like 1500 people, and
last minute you made it,
like
fucking
30 seconds,
fuck.
There are so many stories like that, too. Yeah. Like,
we pull into a show, and if we'd been 5 minutes later, they would have not let us play.
Oh, yeah,
but like they let us play, and it was a great. I love it when you do that, and it's a great show,
yes.
And you're like, how the fuck did that make a great show? We're so fucking
it's and the energy that you're like it's adrenaline.
Yeah it's probably like going into brain surgery or something. I'd imagine, but being late to it and
just
then
being crazy late to brain surgery.
Having unclean hands.
I would hope that my neurosurgeon isn't just rushing in and be like, oh, fuck, man, I just woke up. Here we go.
No, I'm going to do a surgery.
Sorry.
I'm not getting paid for it.
Oh, thank God I just made it just in time anyway.
Sorry, I shouldn't have ordered that third cocktail.
Maybe it's super low.
Oh, fuck, you're still awake.
Goddamn Fleet Week. I knew I was going to be up until 5 a.m. Here we go.
Shit.
Oh, man. Well, I think that's a great story to end on.
That feels good.
Richie, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Anything you want to plug? We don't know exactly when this is going to be released, but anything like upcoming that's you want people to look out for?
Well, what I want to say, and you guys could just like, you know, those shows where they just fill it in. Like, yeah. I'm playing April 28th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, give me one of those. Proms. I'll do that.
Okay. So, you are playing April 28th.
Yeah, we are, actually.
Okay, so do it, and then add space for me there.
So we're playing in Portland, Oregon at
Subtle Lake
with
No One.
And we're playing July 5th at
DBA
with
DBA
on
DBA.
Perfect. Seriously, that's going to work really well for me.
I love it. You have to have like the distorted, like way too close.
Yeah. It's going to be like
April 23.
That would be great.
At Mississippi Studios.
Mississippi Studios.
Mississippi. You've been listening to
Tour Punisher
with
I don't know
and
friends
on
Luck
and also
and our special guest
featuring
and like a digitally distorted Radio Shack mic.
It's got to be ultra shitty. Happen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be. This is what we do.
Well, Brian, you want to sign us off?
Are we done?
Have a good week, everybody. Have a good week.
Have a good
Tour Punisher is recorded in beautiful, sunny Portland, Oregon at Open Signal with help from Stream PDX. Today's episode was produced by Froze on the Beach, Noah Dunham, and Unwavering Eye Contact, Ryan Soley. And me, I'm Ray Rude, and I'm totally none of those things. Thanks to Richie Young for being on the show. Make sure to keep an eye out for future Loch Lomond shows. They are so, so good live, so check them out and keep up with them on Tumblr and on the socials. As far as the socials for us, we are Tour Punisher on Facebook and Instagram, and if you want to reach out to us, you can communicate anything you wish. TourPunisher@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and as always, have a good week, and we'll see you back here in 2 weeks.